Hi, this is Dan Gilbazan, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hey, would you like to buy this?
No.
Sounds good.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello, hello.
We're here.
Yes, we're... No, we're not Optimus Prime from the 2007 film.
No.
No.
And the funny thing is, I think this isn't in... This isn't in our lovely document here, but my Google feed on my Pixel 7 Pro, because apparently I had to upgrade because the other phone did something stupid after 3.5 years. I don't know what. I saw that they are releasing either in a new 4K or a new Blu-ray box set all 7 films for live action. Big old box set coming.
I wonder how much they're going to charge for that.
I don't know. I saw it in passing, and I barely looked at it because most of the, unfortunately, and I don't know why this is Google, but like most of the like Yahoo News, Variety, like it's legitimate sources and stuff, but like I don't know. Just usually when I scroll over to this, I'm like, oh crap, what happened to that? I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, so we got some news to catch up on. Last episode was last month. And, yeah, so we got 12 total things here tonight, so 6 and 6. And, finally, it was supposed to happen June 28th, but we have an update on the Beast Wars, the album.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bastards, if they don't release this, I'm going to...
There'll be a riot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got Beast Machines.
There's honestly no reason.
I don't understand. Like, it couldn't have. Like, it's a digital release. Unless they misplaced some of the files or something. Like, it's not like the Beast Wars and the Beast Machines versions were getting physical. Like, the Generation 1, Hasbro Presents Transformers Generation 1, blah, 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 blah. That got a physical release, because at first it was only going to get a physical release. I remember complaining about that on this show. As much as I like physical media, I don't have a record player. I haven't had a record player since 1983 when I was 3 years old. So, but yes, Beast Wars, the album, the update is...
Well, I was going to say stoked just because it's, you know, again, it's Beast Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And two, like... This is the one I've been waiting for.
Yep. Yep, this is one you've been waiting for. That's right. And so the update is that, and I wish we could do this. Unfortunately, we can't because Fridays, there's some sort of Primus thing going on Fridays in one of our lives. And yeah, it will be dropping this week, Friday, August 23rd, 2023. What the 2023? What am I talking about here? August 23rd, 2024. Where's a freezer? So the next episode, folks, is going to be a ATTF Beast Unleashed crossover episode where we review both scores, Beast Wars and Beast Machines.
I can't wait for that, actually, because I... I haven't listened to the Beast Machines one since it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ecstatic to hear it. I mean, I have a bunch of music soundtracks that I was given by RFC years ago with the audio or like the vocal track and sound effects stripped from it.
Yeah.
But
this is an official release after. Yeah. I mean, this is an official release. I'm glad they're doing it now that they're getting on this train of this is the 40th year of the brand. So let's do a 40th anniversary release of the original Generation 1 score. Let's do a Beast Machines finally, because I don't think we've ever had that. And I think we've only ever had Beast Wars in, like, maybe pack-in CDs, if that at all. Probably not. But so this is kind of like the first time, and it's one of those things where I'm glad they're not waiting another two freaking years. If this story, if this thing got pushed to the 30th anniversary of Beast Wars, I would be pissed. I would be so pissed. Because how can you give us Beast Machines and G1 in 1 year? I mean, if they didn't, like, if they had just released the Generation 1 soundtrack score streaming, the one that's out now, if they just released that for this year, I would be fine. But, you know, I would be fine waiting for the 30th anniversary for Beast Wars and then release both Beast Wars and Beast Machines in 2026. But they didn't do that. So luckily, and I know we're... I'm kind of complaining in circles here, folks, but luckily they're not doing that, and hopefully later this week we will hear Beast Wars, the album, and as I already said, next episode of this show, and a new episode of The Beast Unleashed will be us discussing the music, because it's the first time you're really hearing the music outside of the show. And that's one of the things I love about soundtracks. I've been doing soundtrack stuff for... granted, this is not through La La Land Records, but I've been doing soundtrack stuff for them since 2013. I've always loved soundtracks. I've always loved hearing music outside of the movies or the TV shows or the cartoons or the whatever. So,
let's go.
All right, so that's Beast Wars. And then we're going to go into some poster stuff. So from August 15th of this year, we got new Transformers 1 promotional posters. Thanks to Asuka26 on X, Twitter, whatever, and Dbox on Instagram, we have a look at a new Transformers 1 promotional poster being given out at select early screenings. That's the other thing we missed, because we didn't do an episode until now. The 15th to the 18th of this month? Yeah. This past weekend, they had early special select early screenings that fans could go to of Transformers 1 in theaters. Yeah.
I didn't have that in my area.
Yeah. I don't know if I had it in my area or not, because I don't leave the house. So, that's just me. So, this D-Box poster, I'm loving this. This is cool as hell.
I don't mind it. I think it's kind of neat. Prime looks like Ultra Magnus, though.
Yeah, a little bit. And that's the interesting thing with the posters, because, honestly, I can say that some of these posters look better than the actual... I remember when I first saw this, I'm like, ooh. When I first saw this poster, I was like, ooh. If that was the actual animation style, if it was 2D and not 3D... I would probably be more hyped for Transformers 1. I've seen all the trailers I need to see. I don't need to see the 17 different clips that they've put out since the original trailers came out. The second poster that they have here that's just a normal... it's a D-Box Real D 3D... Cinemark poster, but instead of having his name at the top of the poster, it's the full poster with his name in the lower left-hand corner. I kind of like that one a little more, because you have Megatron at the top, you have Optimus in the middle, and it's essentially the same sort of thing. It's just positioned differently.
Well, but what I like love it about it is instead of the Matrix and, you know, his spark or cog power or whatever, it's showing them in their vehicle forms, and it's almost got kind of like this nice, like, starburst, like, type appearance, you know, kind of that 80s nostalgia look.
Absolutely.
And then we've got additional promotional posters for the movie. And then we got one where it's Orion, Bumblebee, and Alita with Megatron looking over their behind their backs and all that. We've got the one that was done by Matt Ferguson, which is Optimus standing, which he actually has his face mask, which is strange to me because they have not shown the face mask at all in any of the promotional stuff until now. But Matt Ferguson, I love that dude. He's a great artist. I think he's based out of the UK. I'm sorry, Matt, if I'm saying that incorrectly. I've got two of his posters he did for the Transformers the Movie stuff when they re-released the 86 DVDs. I've got those hanging on my wall, so I love his art. So those are the posters, folks.
I like the one with Prime's face on it more.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the 3D and the glow effect and you know the Matrix showing and the four of them in it.
Yep.
That's probably my favorite graphic.
Yeah, it looks really good. They both look really good. And then we've got one last thing. We got character posters. Now, this is cool to me because I haven't really paid too much attention, and we'll talk about this later when we talk about some YOLO Park stuff. I haven't paid too much attention to the alt modes because in most of the trailers I've seen, they don't have the alt modes yet because they haven't unlocked the power of transforming because Alpha Trion, and this is not a spoiler, folks, it's in the trailers, had not given them their sparks or their matrix, whatever the hell. They don't have, at the beginning of this movie, they're not going to have the power to transform until at some point other in the movie. So these character posters, even though I know I've seen these toys, I like seeing the character poster designs because I think they look cooler. I cannot wait until Optimus gets his stupid faceplate because I hate seeing Chris Hemsworth's face on Optimus Prime because it's just ugly as hell. Brian Tyree Henry is Megatron. I like that Megatron design, the alt mode and the robot mode. I think that's cool.
See, I wish that he was like a bigger figure because I mean, I like the robot mode. Mm-hmm. The tank's okay. Like, I don't mind it either, but I do like the robot mode after he gets his transformation cog, and just the kind of design looks interesting.
Yeah, and then we got Alita with her alt mode with the bike, which looks really, really cool. And then Bumblebee. From the trailers, I'm not feeling Bumblebee at all as far as his character goes. But I love this alt mode because it reminds me of the War for Cybertron alt mode when Johnny Young Bosch voiced him. We got Keegan-Michael Key voicing him in this, but that alt mode very much resembles the old War for Cybertron video game design that they used way back when in 2010. Thoughts?
Yep. I miss those.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of
Alita,
the new Bumblebee.
Yeah, his character's a little annoying, but you know that's just the way it's gonna be. So those are the posters, folks. I am only gonna be talking about one. Well, I'm gonna be talking about two comic stories, but I'm only gonna be talking about one of the Skybound Entertainment Image Comics Transformers series solicits, because the other one I think is incorrect, because so far the Image Comics website has not updated with what issue 14 solicitation is going to be. TFW grabbed it from somewhere, I forget where. They probably got it from Previews World or whatever kind of thing, but I think the information is incorrect, so I'm not even going to go there, because in that article it says, oh, Transformers number 14, end of story arc. That's not how that works. So we've got Transformers issue number 12. This is arriving in September. This is the end of the story arc. The fate of two worlds is decided here as the Autobots and Decepticons make choices that will change the universe forever. Jesse, aka Matrix Prime, when I read that solicitation to him, he's like, don't you mean changes the Energon universe forever? I'm like, nope, it just says changes the universe forever. If that's the wrong thing, whatever. And then they've got the various covers for this, for issue 12. The main cover is Optimus Prime, and I thought he was standing on the tippity top of the Nemesis. It's not. It's just a rock jutting out of the water. But it's, I think it's, yeah, it's the water where he's kind of like walking into the space bridge or walking into where he's going to be on Cybertron, because Daniel Warren Johnson and the art team over at Image and Skybound, they are doing the Ultimate Doom, which is fine. I mean, as a writer, what Daniel Warren Johnson has done has been to kind of like flip the script on certain things, but he's also very much homaging Generation One directly. Volume One of the it's collected now because it was released earlier. Volume One is called More Than Meets the Eye. Volume Two is called Transport to Oblivion. Editor TFG and Mike here. Another edit correction. Volume One of the Skybound Transformers trade is not More Than Meets the Eye. It is called Robots in Disguise. So I was wrong again. Two wrongs in one episode. I'm sure there's more things that are wrong here, but here you go. So, I mean, they're ensconced in G1, which is fine. That's the point for this. This is, I've said this from day one when Skybound got the license. This is a new era for a new audience. Yes, it can still apply to us old hats and us, you know, fans and whatever else, but it's mainly to get the new comic audience into the Transformers comics, which is more than fine. But they have a bunch of various alternate covers here. What I also love is that they're also doing connecting covers, which is something IDW did as well. So that's very, very cool. One thing I wanted to bring up, and this is interesting to me, even though I don't have children whatsoever. That's never happening. But the other comic thing out of Skybound from August 12th of this year, 2024, Skybound's Transformers Worst Bot Ever, Meet Ballpoint. Let me just read this before you give your reaction here. Skybound announced the first book in a new series of original graphic novels due in shops next July. Next July, so 1 year from now. Okay, credited to writer Brian Smitty Smith and artist Mars Jr., who has done Void Rivals covers in the past for Skybound. The Decepticons are known for being bad, but Ballpoint is truly the worst, the biggest failure of them all. After the last attempt to take down the Autobots goes horribly wrong, he's kicked out of the Decepticons for good. Will Ballpoint be able to prove his worth by defeating the Autobots all by himself? Or will he keep failing and find that being the best is more than meets the eye? According to Mr. Smith here, it says, it's been an awesome bringing Ballpoint to life. Getting to add a brand new character to the Transformers universe is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And Mars Jr. says, I've been obsessed with Transformers since I was a kid. The 1986 animated movie blew my mind. I've tried to put that magic and love into each page. The initial cover artwork is attached to this post, blah, blah, blah. The inaugural offering in Skybound's young... So this is why I'm bringing this up, because besides the fact of, oh my god, a Ballpoint pen is a Transformer, whatever. The inaugural offering in Skybound's young readers line, Skybound Comet, is an integral component of its overall comics partnership with Hasbro. Other key components include Skybound's new Energon Universe comic book series, Void Rivals, the two-time Eisner Award-winning Transformers and G.I. Joe, and miniseries Duke, Cobra, Commander Scarlet, and Destro, Skybound's reboot of G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, and Skybound's ongoing publishing of Transformers and G.I. Joe, Real American Hero compendiums. So here's the thing. I've said this from day one. Transformers and the G.I. Joe books that they are currently doing, they are for us, the adults. They are not for kids. I would never, in a million years, hand a child this Transformers comic. It's for us. But here we go. Just like with what IDW did, just like with what DC does with certain of their books, we are now getting Skybound Comet, which is what they're calling it, for kids. What do you think of this? And what do you think of this being like the introductory thing of, hey, new Decepticon who always fails because he's a Ballpoint pen?
I think this is stupid.
Oh, come on, man.
I do. I hated BotBots, and this gives me those vibes. Honestly, if they wanted to sell to kids, do something in, like, the G1 through, like, Armada, through I don't know, like any of the iterations that presently existed and give us, like, I don't know, like, I remember getting Batman the Animated Series comics back in the day.
Yep.
And they kind of mirrored the animated series, but they were less dark in some scenarios. But it was still written that I could enjoy it as an adult.
Right.
Or as a kid.
Yeah.
And I feel like they try way too hard on comics nowadays. Like, they either push the envelope to the point that it's, like, almost too adult and repulsive and too kiddish. Like, there's no medium ground anymore.
Right.
And I feel like that's why comics are hurting as badly as they are, is because we're not writing them in a way that it can be consumed by both parties equally.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up on, you know, the old G1 comics, Marvel, and the G.I. Joe, and animated series Batman comics, and the regular mainline, you know, Detective Comics, Nightfall, that kind of stuff, which Nightfall is not at all. but I mean, I grew up on all those, and it didn't, I don't know. I feel like there's a point, like, I understand, and I like the fact that he was able to play in the universe and create something and kind of have fun with it. But at the same time, I don't love the concept. And honestly, I don't even buy my kids' comics. I don't even buy comics. And that's more so because cost. And I haven't loved stories since, like, the Dreamwave stuff came out. Mm. Or, like, the IDW Beast Wars comic. Or...
Yeah.
Like, I really haven't loved a whole lot of what's come out of the comic universe in years. And so it's been very difficult to get behind it, even though I want to support them. And I do like the idea of it. I just don't, like, in this scenario, like, I don't love the idea. I think it's kind of ridiculous and kind of dumb, because when I think of Transformers, I think of electronics or things that have a mechanical aspect to them, like a vehicle or, you know, I don't know, something that actually runs. A ballpoint pen is not something I would think about. That would be like having, like, a block of wood or a nail. Like, why? Like, I would have rather that they had been like, oh, you know, the world's dumbest paperweight, or, like, he's an LED lamp on my desk, or, you know, I don't know, something that plugs into the wall or has batteries, or, I don't know, just something that has an electrical current running through it.
Well, I mean, he kind of is mechanical. I mean, pens do have mechanics in them.
With a push button. I don't love the idea. Like, it's not something I would get my kids, and that's, I guess that's kind of why it boils down to that.
But I mean, so I understand you're not into the butt bots. I am, because I thought that was fun. I thought that was kind of cool. It was kind of interesting, kind of. And again, for me, bot bots is taking me back to 90s and mall culture. That's why I liked that.
I didn't like bot bots because I saw it as Teen Titans Go.
Well, yeah. But that's the thing, though. Like, look at everything Hasbro's doing currently.
How much of it is actually paying off?
Okay, true. But I'm saying, like, you look
money at the toys. Money talks, toy, man. Money talks.
I agree. You look at the toys, though. They've got two sides to, and Evan and Mark and Ben in marketing and everybody, and they all have said this in the Hasbro live stream stuff. They've got two sides to the company. They've got the adult collectors and they've got the kid collectors. Same thing here with these comics. The regular Skybound stuff is for us adults who have been either never have read a Transformers comic before or have paid attention to the Transformers stuff for the last 40 years. And yeah, this story does sound a little hokey, but I mean, I think what the hokiness is what the character that is created. I don't think that it's hokey to have a story where after the last attempt to take down the Autobots goes horribly wrong, he's kicked out of the Decepticons for good. Will Ballpoint be able to prove his worth by defeating the Autobots all by himself? Okay, so technically he's a villain character, and you don't really want your kids looking up to villain characters, but I think the whole point is being able to prove your worth in anything that you're doing, regardless if it's evil or not.
I would have preferred if he was good trying to make a difference, but also the fact that he's a Ballpoint pen. Like, I like the
Yeah.
But I feel like the vessel of execution is where I find issue.
Yeah. That's where your suspension of disbelief comes in, right? It's like, nope, can't do that. Oh God. Alright. Alright, so we've talked about this at length before, and I'm only bringing this one up because I saw this and I'm like, wait, what? So far, as of this recording, we only have the second wave of the Funko Pop Transformers NFTs that are coming out. We did get Astro Train, we did get a new Optimus and Megatron, we did get Laserbeak and Buzzsaw, and we did get Blaster, because I have all of those now for Funko Pops. But really, that's pretty much all we've gotten so far this year, outside of the NFTs. And I saw this, and I'm like, huh. I wonder what Steve would say to this versus Funko Pops. And then I realized that they're only 3D foam bag clips. Ow, my head. So they are releasing from Monogram Transformer 40th Anniversary 3D Foam Bag Clips. The official Monogram website has been updated with our first official images of their new Transformers 40th Anniversary Bag Clips. Monogram has previously released Blind Bag, Evergreen, G1, and Rise of the Beast Foam Bag Clips in the past and other products. Now they reveal new G1 toy design and deco Transformers Bag Clips. There are 11 characters available: Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Hot Rod, Swerve, Blaster, Megatron, Astro Train, Soundwave, Starscream, Devastator, and Laserbeak. Why are they throwing Swerve in there from IDW is beyond me, but okay, cool. Swerve, why not?
And Goldbug, not Bumblebee.
No, it says Bumblebee.
I know, but the face.
Oh, I didn't look at the other images yet. Oh, yeah. Huh. Cool. Hey, I'm all for Goldbug, so... And he's got red eye... Did they not know what color eyes Transformers are supposed to...
Well, I mean, look at Starscream. His head doesn't match either. They're going for the toy aesthetic, not for the...
Not for the show aesthetic. Okay.
Yeah, because Megatron and Prime...
Yeah, yellow
like,
eyes.
They look like their original G1 toy re-envisioned.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of any of these type of chibi-looking figures, so it doesn't...
I think it's cool if you wear a backpack a lot.
Yeah, like I mean, I can understand that.
Yeah, I think that's the... Yeah. Honestly, I would probably... Hot Rod, Devastator, and Laserbeak would be the three that
being
I would...
said...
Yeah.
If there was a Beast Wars Megatron...
Of course, if there was, of course,
I can't totally diss it, but none of it speaks to me either.
You're right. Yeah, it's not your thing.
I feel like they don't. I feel like they don't jump out of the G1 well ever. Like, there's nothing for animated fans. There's nothing for TF Prime. There's nothing for the Armada trilogy. There's nothing for Beast Wars. There's nothing. Like, I feel like. It's everything is heavily G1 or it's just not created.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that and Hasbro has this horrible track record, regardless of the franchise. They go to their very first of whatever it is, and that's all they make. So the G.I. Joe Declassified, it's the Deke series G.I. Joe, the Hasbro Transformers stuff. it's G1. Mm-hmm. Power Rangers, it's MMPR. Like, mm-hmm. nothing beyond it is, in their opinion, a moneymaker. And so they just don't produce anything. So, I mean, I feel like if they're really wanting to speak to the other generations, maybe sprinkle in a couple of randos from different series.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... I like the Prime out of all of them. Yeah. But again, doesn't speak to me. So...
Yeah. And for me, looking at the promotional 40th anniversary, the design image thing, for me, I don't think he's going to be metallic-ish because these are bag clips, but Hot Rod and Devastator in this image look to be like metallic versions of themselves, not just your normal... Like, you look at the Bumblebee, it's your standard Bumblebee. It looks like a, you know, standard plastic yellow Bumblebee, whatever, but I don't know. Some of the leg designs on Hot Rod and some of the chest designs on Devastator look metallic to me, but that's just me. Time for me to go on a rant, folks, because holy crap, why? Beta Toys, as much as I love their nanometal figs and whatever else, because I've got a bunch of them on the desk over here, they are going to be releasing their Hollywood Rides Ghostbusters X Transformers Ecto-1 with Optimus Prime graphics found at U.S. retail. Okay, you can do gigawatt, whatever. You can do Ectotron. You can do the thing I'll talk about after this. Fine. You, as Jada Toys, who are doing the, you know, just kind of like licensing of the thing and whatever, do we really need a red and blue version that says, hey, this Ghostbusters car is Optimus Prime? Really? Do we really need this?
No.
Like, I'm looking at this, and granted, the two images that TFW 2005 has of this, it's showing the other Jada Toys type stuff that are on there, because they're pictures of the toy shelves, and it shows the time machine from Back to the Future 2 and 3, so it's got the two different versions, which actually I might want those kind of thing, because it's Back to the Future. But this Ecto-1 Transformers Ghostbusters thing, I don't understand this, because you added bluish stuff to the thing to say, hey, it's Optimus Prime? What? Thanks to those of my board member, Rob Bartley and Cringe McCringle, we can share for you our first U.S. sightings of the new Jada Toys Hollywood Rides Ghostbusters X Transformers Ecto-1 with Optimus Prime graphics at U.S. So it's just Optimus Prime graphics? Special Optimus Prime themed red and blue deco. So it's a freaking repaint! It's just a freak...
Just a bunch of repaints.
Repaints. I would have much preferred if they created a shattered glass version of Ecto-1 and they did it in the purple, green, and black, or navy, or whatever dark blue shattered glass Optimus is. This, to me, is just stupid. Sorry, not sorry. Next up, because I don't think you have anything to say about that.
No, I like the Back to the Future stuff. That's it.
Yeah, I do too. I'm like, oh, Back to the Future. That's what I've need to focus those, on. Though. Yeah.
And I've thought about it.
Yeah, that's my first time seeing those specific ones. I've seen them
in the store. They're awesome.
Very cool, very cool.
And we'll be right back right after these messages.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast. The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Hey, Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it?
You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yes.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Yes, also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about the New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We could give it a catchy name, like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin, that's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get it soon, I hope. Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Long Box Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Long Box Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors, come out to play, yay!
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Kiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast, Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
Imagine a podcast that celebrates the things we love. Why spend time being so angry and cynical about our fandoms? Join me, the Irredeemable Shag, for a show where we're just trying to be happy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast. Our discussions focus on a variety of geeky subjects that we're passionate about. While the topics will be ever-changing, our focus will be on science fiction, comic books, what it means to be a geek in this world, and other nostalgia-fueled ideas. Life is short. Focus on the positive. Find your joy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at TransmissionsPodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Now, back to the show.
All right, next up, we got Yolo Park, and I'm loving Yolo Park. They're doing some really great stuff, but this is their AMK series for Transformers 1. This is their official stock images and pre-orders for the Transformers 1 characters. We have eight figures, eight different figures. Four of the main core cast with before they get their Matrix powers or their sparks or whatever. Bumblebee, Leta One, Megatron, and Optimus. Or Orion, I should say. And then we have Orion, Megatron, Elita, and Bumblebee. Once they do get their chests closed up because they have sparks now. Now, I'm looking at these, and I'm just like, okay, none of the Transformers 1 Orion packs, none of the photos of the toys of him have impressed me at all. I just don't think I like the toy design of him. I think he looks fine, other than the fact he has Chris Hemsworth's face. I think he looks fine in the animation.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. They just have that goofy look on their face. Mm-hmm. They all look the same. They're all that goofy look.
So, but like I've seen the alt mode for the Optimus, and I'm just like, that is the ugliest truck ever. Like, no. And these,
I'm not a fan of any of these designs, to be honest. I like them when they get their cogged forms.
Mm.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Prime still leaves a lot to be desired. Bumblebee and Megatron are definitely the top tier.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Elita doesn't look all that much different.
Yep.
Prime looks different, but kind of meh.
Yeah.
I like the Megatron because he gives vibes of the 1980s Marvel comic, like when he first debuted, and the original toy, you know, artwork.
Yeah.
So he gives that aesthetic, and I like it.
Yeah.
And I like his robot mode, but overall, I'm not a huge fan of the design of Prime, but. I mean, yeah. I still feel like that aside, like even without purchasing product, mm-hmm. I feel like I'll enjoy the film.
Yeah.
And honestly, the prices for these, not that bad.
No, the prices for this for entry is not bad at all.
No, I mean, for $15 for cogless and $30 for cogged. I mean, honestly, they look way better than.
Yeah.
The Hasbro stuff. And they don't transform, but I don't, like, they've got premium paint.
They got premium paint, and they have premium posability, and that's what I love about the Yolo Park stuff that they've been doing, whether it's this AMK series or the AMK Pro series that they're doing, too, because they've done that with the G1 characters. But yeah, no, these do look great. Probably not going to be buying these, but... they do look great, and man, getting that Megatron in some of those poses, same thing with the Elita One and Optimus, is really, really cool.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, their MK Pro series looks spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't get their mini series. I find those are a bit...
No. The AMK Pro series is what
we Pro want. Or these ones.
Yep.
Yeah. Would be the way to go. But yeah, I mean, AMK's got it dialed in.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Good old Yolo Park. All right. Before we get to the final two things, we've got this interview with Hasbro Transformers team, Evan and Mark. This was from Toys R Us, whatever. A 27-minute chat about our favorite brand of Transformers, the Toys R Us. Toys R Us YouTube channel. Okay, there we go. So Evan and Mark were on there, and here are the bullet points. I'm just going to read down these. If you want to interrupt. The point of the goal of Studio Series 86 Commander Optimus Prime was to beat Masterpiece 10. The Knight Rider collaboration wasn't made with the goal of scaling with anything. Okay, fine. Hasbro designer named Brian, who has worked at Hasbro for 30 years, is the one who did the Knight Rider design. Evan isn't a fan of the old Fortress Maximus Titan, so we're probably going to see a redo of that in the future. I'm assuming that's not what's said here, but it just stops that he's not a fan of it. A lot of brands have come to Hasbro for collaborations. Certain ones get pushed forward based off of what the Transformers team thinks would work best for the year. It's a lot of back and forth, debating on what to do with cardboard backgrounds, since their research indicated that people don't use them much. Talk about creating new one. Flight. You what? You can agree with
I
that one?
I could have told you that one on the cardboard background.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. It's nice if you're going to keep them in the box, but if you're taking them out, the box and the cardboard are getting pitched. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I
like that they've started doing more with them. Like, they're actually offering something in the box for the cardboard. It's not just a piece of cardboard. Like, it actually has a standee type thing where you could pose figures, but yeah. Generally,
yeah. That shit. And then regarding the Beat MP10,
mm-hmm.
Would have been nice if, you know, they put premium paint.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that's very true.
I feel like for that cost, I'd like a little bit more detail in the paint and the head sculpt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I get that they were going for animated style, but.
Well, and this is my thing. I still would love to see a Prime without his trailer. No extra add-ons, just Prime. Like, give me an affordable Optimus Prime.
They do that all the time, though, don't they?
Not really. They bundle him with a stupid trailer every single time.
So, but, going back really quickly to the Transformers 1 stuff, if they did, so the difference between the Bumblebee version and the Goldbug version, or the upgraded version, the when he gets his spark thing, I think if they did the animated Optimus, if they did it more metallic, like, you could still have the same overall cartoon design, but like you're saying, add more detail to it. I think if they made it actually metallic, like, actually made it from die-cast construction, maybe that'd work. Who knows? I don't know. Let's see. Talk about creating new flight stands. So apparently that's a thing. Comic stuff won't come to Studio Series until SS86 is mostly finished. If it happens, it'll be something like Legacy. Evan names Nautica and Riptide as characters he wants to do.
Give me Mark, Beast Wars Megatron without his battle armor from the Dawn of Future Past comic.
There you go. Mark has plans for more Wreckers, though most on the back burner. Rack and Ruin is the one specifically he wants to do. Capsules are always envisioned as a one-year program. If they do well, it's when they consider to do more. Though with development, it takes 2 years. Oh, this is what I was talking about with PulseCon. I mentioned this to you off air earlier or whenever. Devastator will show off in some form at PulseCon. The original plan was to spread Devastator across 2 years, but now the goal is 5 to 6 months. They learned from Menasor based off of how Breakdown well into later wave than they wanted and was harder to get. So basically, instead of sporadically doing the combiners, like, you get a scrapper, you get a hook, you get a this every whatever, they're going to do it all at once. Recommendations from internal management are to show off combiners all at once, like I just said. Trying to figure out a system to make most of the pieces available at once. And unfortunately, with the Devastator, you bastards, no trumpets for the Constructicons. It was planned at one point, though. Damn it. Still a lot of candidates for Titan class. Azul wants to do Grandis. Mark thinks Broadside would fit. So, yeah. If people want to watch the video or whatever, I'll link it in the show notes on GeekCastRadio.com. But that's the high points. So, yeah. Okay. I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I get the designers want to do stuff that is more niche because they want... And look, if you're working on the project or if you're working on the product and you have something that you really want to do that you think is going to... That you think the bosses are going to approve, sure, go for it. Take that shot. But I'm like, you really want to do more Wreckers, Mark? Or Evan wants to do this other thing? And look, I would love to have for us to talk to Mark and Evan and pick their brains and learn everything that they love about this brand and about working on it. But I don't know. Some of these things that they're choosing just seems so niche to me.
Yep. And not that I'm like hating on the niche aspect of it.
Right.
Because some of these do deserve new figures.
Yes, some of them do, yeah.
And this, again, plays into the fact that I was just saying all they do is G1.
Yep.
So, I mean, I can't knock them for trying.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
They're at least trying to go out of the box. Same token, the G1 purists will not allow it to survive.
Unfortunately.
So, that would be the same as, like, me for, like, a Beast Wars fan. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's not that I would actively go against it. I'm just not going to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, it's the same. I feel like it's the same with, like, your G1 purists. And unless they had, like, a, you know, G1 counterpart or they really liked the figure or, you know, aspects like that, I don't see people really picking up some of these niche figures. Like, I have no ambition to get a combiner. One, my kid had a... because all I could afford was a knockoff Defensor from, I think it was War for Cybertron, or it was the Titans Return.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, his, like, I wasn't in love with the way that it connected and the designs.
Right.
So I've never been, like, a big fan of combiners anyway. But... Yeah, I mean, I also understand why they're saying, you know, release them closer together. Because Menasor, I still see parts of him out. But it's,
you get an arm, like, you get a leg.
Arm or a foot. I don't see the core.
No, I honestly think, and I know this would be a big cost, I honestly think what they need to do with combiners is, and they probably can't do this because of the way that they want to modernize as far as the design. We're like, but do a G1 gift box set type thing, like, or give an option to do that. Like, for us collectors that want it all at once, go on to Hasbro Pulse and give us that option. If you want the stuff in stores, put it in stores individually all at once, and at least you have it. But at least for the collector side of it all, make gift box sets. Like, why not? I mean, people throw down more money on Leo Prime and the other, like, people tossed out $575 for Unicron. Now, don't get me wrong, it's Unicron, I know it's a big thing, literally, kind of thing, but, like, if people are willing to pay that, I'm sure that they would pay for a full Constructicon, like, modern day gift box set. Just saying. Alright, folks, and finally, save the worst for last, because surprisingly, folks, I'm not thrilled with this. I've heard rumors, but I can't confirm, and this is one thing I would love to ask Evan or Mark. I've heard rumors that the Transformers Collaborative Knight Rider X Transformers Autobot Agent Knight, which was announced and shown off at San Diego Comic-Con, the robot design is supposed to be sort of designed after Michael Knight's outfit from Knight Rider, which was black leather jacket, red shirt most of the time and blue jeans. Just no. No, don't stop. But we have updated in-hand images of the Agent Knight. And the car mode, other than the front bumper, because it extends a little too much and it has the thing there, that's fine. I like this for the car mode, but the robot mode is... The only problem I have with it, and again, I can't really be too negative about this because this thing does have lights and sounds.
Yep.
Which, that's very rare in a Transformer, so I will give it those props. However... Well,
and notice how we're hitting all the 80s franchises. We're hitting Back to the Future, we're hitting Knight Rider, we're hitting Ghostbusters. Watch the A-Team be next.
Oh, of course.
Because all they gotta do is use, like, a Skids remold.
Skids remold, or they could do some weird thing with Ironhide or something, or maybe they could create something new kind of thing. Breaker. Yeah, that too. If I was to get, like, originally I wanted this. We've been wanting this specific one. Proto Man's talked about it. I've talked about it. Everybody who's a Knight Rider fan has talked about this. It would be the smartest thing in the world for Transformers to do a Knight Rider crossover, and here we are. And the only thing I would want this for is the alt mode, because the robot mode is just ugly. I understand you wanting to, quote-unquote, Michael Knight's blue jeans on a toy, but that's just dumb. Like, I'm looking at the image 28, where it's just the robot next to the back of the box of the thing, and he's got his arms out or whatever, and I'm seeing the full design. That midsection should be red. It would make more sense if it was red, because his head, his eye visor is red. Every other accent on him is red. It's black and red. The blue sticks out like a sore thumb. I love the head sculpt. I love the face sculpt. That is cool as hell.
This would be one of those instances where a glossy or metallic paint would do wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Where the gray is like a metallic silver.
Yep.
And the black is a gloss black. The mm-hmm. red is like a translucent red. Yeah. And if they were going for the blue jeans, they should have gone like a dark blue, like,
yeah,
dark yeah. blue,
like, and then dark add navy, some light. Yeah.
Well, and you know, and then had some, you know, kind of, you know, the speckled look that blue jeans have.
Mm-hmm.
And then add like kind of a gloss to it as well. And I feel like you could really make this thing
pop.
But he's big.
Yeah, he's big. He's big, all right. Yeah, they've got comparison pictures here with Gigawatt, Agent Knight, and Ectotron. Ectotron is the biggest one to this point, obviously. But no, they look good. He looks good next to Optimus and Megatron. That's cool. Just don't.
Megatron is the cell shaded, and the Prime is Netflix Prime.
Yep. And then you got G1 Prime next to him, and then you got, oh, you bastards. They put the SS-86 next to it. That's awesome. That's hilarious.
Well, they also put the Megatron from the new movie.
Yep.
Which, he doesn't look terrible. But
no,
I like the design if it were just a hair bigger, because I feel like even that would work, like with that Megatron I was trying to make.
Yep.
Out of Galvatron, I feel like the chest on that thing was perfect. But anyways, like the SS-86 Prime, again, I want to like it, but it just, again, seeing it here, I see a less than premium figure for the cost.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
the War for Cybertron one looks far, far more superior.
Yeah. Well, the War for Cybertron one has actually, see, again, I know everyone wants a super clean, super animated, I do too, you know, animated style Optimus. But my first thought looking between the War for Cybertron one here, even though we're talking about the Knight Rider crossover, and the SS-86 one, is what they should have done is they should have given him slight design stylings of not battle damage that can be removed, but give him the worn look. Don't give him this super high polish look, because as we have already said in the last episode, Prime is that you. Even in the early episodes of G1, he had more to him than...
There was, like, more detail, and I can't pinpoint exactly what it is. Like, I'm not even nitpicking whether it's, like, glossy or metallic. It's... There's something on it, like, color-wise, that just reminds me... Do you remember those $5 figures that came out a few years ago?
Yep.
Those ones that were just hard plastic. The arms, legs moved, the legs moved, and that was it. Yep. And... Actually, they didn't even move. They made the RED figures even look premium. That's what this looks like to me.
Yep.
Like the head, the head on Prime, and then the windows, I think, are what really kills this figure.
Yeah, absolutely. So I shared with you here in the Discord chat the screen caps I took of when Optimus exploded in the movie to transform. Look at the alt mode there in the first image, how much shading the animation has with the fire, because they're doing this with the fiery flame effect too. And then when he gets shot by Megatron, not Hot Rod, Megatron, he has more detail. And now that I'm, and I don't think it's the angle that I took the screenshot at, but now that I'm looking at that second image again, and I'm looking at this figure, they got just amount of right a white color in there, because I forgot how white Optimus's midsection was in the movie. But yeah, no, like you said, more detail on that.
I think if they came out with another one of this Prime and gave mm-hmm. him the head sculpt of the Christmas Prime, give him that head.
Yep.
And then they cel shaded the figure like the movie.
Yep.
I feel like you'd have a more premium Prime.
Yep.
Like, I truly feel that, and I feel like that would be my premium finish Prime. Like, and because I know Hasbro likes to pump money out of things that they create new, give it a year, year and a half, we'll have a premium finish version of the same figure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
it'll look nicer than, I mean, when I can go third party and I feel like I can get a better figure, I mm-hmm. feel like... I'm being gypped.
Yep. I mean, hell, the AMK Pro Series.
Oh, I know.
Yolo Park Optimus is more accurate than this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, you guys. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, and what's sad is the MP44 even looks better.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to directly criticize Mark and Evan, but
no, I feel like this is a paint deco mostly.
Yeah.
And the windows and the head sculpt. It's not I do like the figure. I just don't like the paint execution.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, she wrote, you got anything else?
I do not.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, like I said, next episode we're going to do a soundtrack crossover for Beasties, because we got some Beastie scores to talk about.
We got a score to settle.
That's right. That's right.
I couldn't help that.
I know. I say that's right. I will say, just as a kind of preview, I don't want to say spoiler, but as a preview, I was listening to the Beast Machines album earlier today, and like I said in the previous episode, it is 10 tracks. They have pretty much, like, they have the main Beast Machines music that you expect to have in a soundtrack that is from the show. They do not have the Fat Planet opening and closing themes, but that's not the point of this. The point of this was to, and I guess technically it should have been, they should have had that, but that's okay that they don't, because those, I mean, unless Fat Planet ever did longer versions of that, I mean, it's like, what, 30 seconds for the intro and maybe a minute for the outro? So I'm very excited to see what ends up on the Beast Wars album this Friday, because I'm going to get this episode out in post-haste. This Friday, August 23rd, 2024. Where can the people find you on socials, sir?
Well, they can find me on the socials at SCP-21 on X. Still seems weird. Yes. But they can find me there and geekcastradio.com.
All right. I am also on the X at TF2 and Mike. You can check me out on Instagram at TF2 and Mike Presents. As always, geekcastradio.com. Unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time when we talk about some awesome beast music. Take us out, Megatron.
So until next time, transform and transcend.
Yes. Yes.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.